All right, so we are going to continue to talk about the Ten Commandments, and tonight we're going to talk about what we read in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Next week, we are going to have another installment of our Heart of a Shepherd series. It'll be the first Sunday evening of the month. And so we have Reese Davis is coming up this upcoming Sunday night. So we're looking forward to what Reese has to share with us next week. So I want to encourage you to come back next week. I have been really encouraged by that series, and I hope that you have as well. I appreciate our shepherds so very much and their willingness to stand up here and be very open about their lives and about the work that they do as elders. And so I appreciate that so very much. But tonight we're going to continue to talk about the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Words, as it is literally there in the Hebrew. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. In legal affairs, and I think we get this and we understand this about this commandment, one is to speak honestly concerning crimes or different types of offenses. That's, I think, the main way in which this passage, this command is to work. So perjury is wrong. It perverts the justice system. Okay. Lesson is over, right? We get that. We need to talk about that any longer. Perjury is wrong. It perverts the justice system. And that, again, with these commandments, thinking about laws for a nation, it's important. And just a few short, very short phrase, you shall not give false testimony, right, against your neighbor. It perverts the justice system. But I think, as we study this command and think about it, I think it's very fair to move into a discussion about honesty and lying in a more general sense. And so we can talk about it in a legal sense, and obviously that's very important, but I think we can talk about it in a more general sense, just thinking about everyday life, the relationships that we have, how important it is for us to be honest people through and through. So a few months back, I had been on the phone with Time Warner Cable, and if any of you have Time Warner Cable, or some of you probably say, I will never have it again, but anyways, so I shouldn't have named the company there, but okay. I was on the phone with them, and I was just about to cancel our cable because of how the billing was working. It just wasn't working out. And the guy said, okay, we have a promotion that we're offering. We're going to offer you, and it includes a $300 Visa gift card. So I thought, man, how many rounds of golf could I get from that? Or, you know, how much barbecue could I eat, or something like that? Or a gift for Sarah, you know, would be nice too. But they got me. So I said, okay. So they said, what you're going to need to do is you'll need to stay on for 3 more months. At the end of that 3 months, we'll send you that gift card. Well, that 3 months, it came, it went. No gift card. Waiting for this gift card. So finally, I called the company and I said, I didn't get that card. And he said, oh, we're sorry about that. We've had several customers that said that they didn't receive the card. Our mistake. Said, we'll go ahead and just credit your account $300. Thought, sweet. All right. So that worked out just fine. Several weeks later, I get in the mail a $300 gift card. So they had credited our account $300, which is pretty sweet, and now we have this $300 gift card too. Now, I didn't want to call them and let them know that they had made a mistake, right? A $300 mistake. I was thinking, this is so cool. We're not going to have to pay our credit card or our cable bill for several months now. And now we have this gift card. This is sweet. But just thinking, that's not right. That's not right. So I did go ahead and call them and told them about the mistake. And they said, thank you so much for your honesty. We appreciate that. Now, I'm not telling you this and it's like I'm a hero or anything. I did not want to call them. It took everything in me to call them. And I think that's kind of my point. Sometimes being honest, doing the right thing, is difficult for us. Perhaps because we're broken people or selfish people or greedy people. At least I can say that was the case for myself. And making that call was so challenging. And I was rationalizing, thinking, they've took me for so much money. What's $300, right? In a huge company like that. But we have this ability in our minds to work things out in a way that I don't think is often in accordance with God's will for our lives. This man named Doug Mushrow, he made a list of the great American lies. And I'll just share a few with you this evening. The check is in the mail, right? I'll start my diet tomorrow. One size fits all. This hurts me more than it hurts you. And it's not the money, it's the principle. Right? We've all heard these before. Sometimes we've used them. Perhaps we've used them in an honest sense, but I think we can see how these have been used in a dishonest sense as well. And lying, unfortunately, is an accepted part, in general, accepted part of life for culture, society, perhaps even for us as well. I'd like us to look at Proverbs chapter 6. Of course, we know that the Proverbs talk a great deal about the sins of speech. And Proverbs 6 hits on this in verses 16 through 19. Proverbs 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. So you have this list here of things that the Lord hates, that are detestable to him. And two of the things that are noted here in this list are about lying. Perhaps you could even make a case that three of them are, with a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Perhaps lying could be connected to that as well. But they've got a lying tongue and a false witness who pours out lies. These, we're told, are things that the Lord hates. And so, what is a lie exactly? I think at the sort of the root, the core level, it's about when a person purposefully, intentionally deceives another, misleads someone with what they say. And again, I'm trying to kind of get to the core of lying. We could go on and on about what lying is, whether it's intentional or whether it's accidental, and you could talk about some ethics there and how we use our speech as it pertains to lies. But its core, this purposefully misleading or deceiving someone, is what the lie is. And why do we lie? First of all, we're sinners. We're broken people. And so why do we sin in general? Why do we commit acts that go against the will of God? At the core, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But also, we think it's a better way to get things done. So we think, perhaps if I say this in this moment, or sort of shape things in this way, maybe it will be more efficient. May not be honest. We think it may be more efficient. Also, we're insecure. people in general are insecure. And so I learned this phrase from someone named John Ortberg, and he said, a good bit of life is about impression management. It's about impression management. And what he means by that is we spend a lot of our energy and our time trying to manage how others see us, perceive us, respond to us. Instead of being secure in who we are in relationship with God, we spend much of our time trying to manage how people will perceive us. And when we do that, we oftentimes intentionally deceive. And we also think about greed and selfishness. You know, you think about a whole range of life that is marketing. Not that marketing is a bad thing. Marketing is a way of life. It's something that is it's part of who we are. But I know I have viewed different kinds of marketing schemes that bend the truth in order to sell a product or a service. So we see that in play in ways. Also, we like to get our own way. And so we are willing to mislead or speak in a way that is not truthful in order for our way to take place instead of someone else's. And then another question, to whom do we lie? Well, we lie to others, right? And one word for this is slander. We say something untrue in order to malign someone else's character. There's also flattery. Back in the Proverbs in chapter 29, Proverbs 29 and verse 5, it says, those who flatter their neighbors are spreading nets for their feet. Those who flatter their neighbors are spreading nets for their feet. And so setting a trap for them. Flattery, although on the surface may be appreciated, it is something that is actually going to be destructive to them in the end. And I won't give any examples of flattery at this point, but I think you all have a good idea of what that is. And then, of course, we lie to others in what I just mentioned, impression management, trying to shape the way that they view us, using dishonesty perhaps to do that. We also lie to God, right? And you could say lying to others in a sense is lying to God as well. But I thought of the story of Ananias and Sapphira, right? They weren't honest about what they were giving. They were flat out lying to God, and we know the consequences of that lie. And we were reminded of Proverbs chapter 6. The Lord hates lying. He detests it. And we lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves. There's a story that really impacted me, and it was told by Brennan Manning in a book called Ragamuffin Gospel. The Ragamuffin Gospel. And he talks about a man who was in AA, and he was in rough shape. He's sitting around in a circle. Brennan is there as well with several other people, and they are going around and they're talking about their lives, their mistakes, the ups and downs that they've experienced in life. And the leader of that group was speaking to one of the men directly about some of the mistakes that he had made. And one thing the leader noticed as he was talking to this man is that he was very apprehensive to divulge all that this man had done, especially as it related to his alcoholism. And as they talked, the leader was drawing more and more information out of this man. But still, there was a bit that he wasn't sharing. The leader called him out on it. He said, okay, you're here to get help. I'm here to help you. But as I can tell right now, you're not being open with us. You're not being truthful with us about all that has gone on in your life. And he started to pry and pry. Then the man told the story about a winter evening when he had picked up his little girl from school, and they went shopping, and the little girl had bought some stuff. On the way home, though, the man decided that he needed to stop at a bar. So he stops in the bar, has his little daughter in the car, and he keeps the car running and then walks in to the bar and ends up spending hours upon hours in this bar. And in the meantime, his daughter was sitting out in the car. Later on, what happened is she had gotten frostbitten. He came out several hours later. His daughter was frostbitten. Her ears, her hands, they ended up having to do major surgery on her because of the damage that was done as she sat in this car freezing cold. And what Manning says as he kind of follows up in this story, and I don't mean to kind of hit you with a story like that on a Sunday evening, but what Manning gets at is he says, you know, what had happened with that man is he had closed that part of his life off. He hadn't been honest with himself. And that leader understood if that man was going to make any changes, he was going to have to be honest with himself about where he truly is. Where he truly is. And healing will begin to take place once he gets real with who he is. And we tell lies to ourselves so often. It's okay. I can keep doing that. I can handle this. We know the lies that we tell ourselves. And so what do we do going forward? Obviously, we are to be honest with ourselves, be introspective, to look in the mirror and think about who we really are. But I also think we need to check our heart continually. And so Matthew chapter 12, Jesus speaks about the condition of our heart. And so as we think about being people who are honest with others and encouragers and speak words of truth in life, I remind you of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 12, starting at verse 33. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. And I think as you think about the words that we share, part of that would be, are they full of hope? Are they good? And are they true? Are they honest? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, the context here is about oaths, but I think it relates to honesty as well. So this is Matthew 5, verses 33 through 37. I think it really closely relates to what we're talking about this evening. Matthew 5, starting at verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Of course, in that culture, there was more of this kind of swearing going on, swearing on things to confirm that what you were saying was in fact true and right. But Jesus says, do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. You know, I'd hope that I would be the kind of person that my yes was yes and my no was no. And I would hope that you all would be people where your yes is yes and your no is no. And I think, too, we look at sort of current events, you know, with it being an election year and politics and all of that. I think we need to be keep our eyes and our ears out for what is truthful and what is not. I think of the term spin doctors, right? We see that take place where things are spun in one direction or another. And in the midst of all the spinning and all the untruths, the lies that are told, not just in politics, but in general in our culture, one of the ways that we can shine brightly is to be truth tellers, to be honest, to have our yes be yes and our no to be no. As Abraham Lincoln, he was a postmaster. I didn't know this until recently, in New Salem, Illinois. He was 24 years old. At that time, he received an annual salary of $55. 1 year, he got paid the $55 in advance. But partway through the year, they had to shut down that post office. He lost his job. But he had been paid $55 even though he did not work for the entire year. He had that money. He held on to it, not knowing exactly what to do with it, but he didn't spend it. Years later, some government officials came to him and said, "You owe the government $17. As the story goes, he went to a back room to a little closet and he pulled out a little bag and there were $17. He gave it to those men. What he said is, "I never use any man's money but my own." And we think about one of the nicknames for Abraham Lincoln, right? Honest Abe. You know, there you go at 24 years old. But we are to fill our hearts with truth. And of course, if we are going to do that, we set our hearts on the truth. One man said that truth lies in character. Christ didn't simply speak the truth. He was the truth. Truth through and through. For truth is a thing not of words, but life and being. I'm going to read that again. I think that's really good. Truth lies in character. Christ didn't simply speak the truth. He was the truth, truth through and through. For truth is a thing not of words, but life and being. I think as we follow the truth, as we live in the way of the truth, as we find our meaning and our purpose and our identity in the way, the truth, and the life, we ought to be a people that our hearts are full of truth, and truth permeates all that we are. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. If there's anybody here tonight that needs the prayers of the church family, we would be honored, glad to pray with you or for you. If there's anybody here that is ready to put Jesus on in baptism, that would be so great to witness you do that this evening. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward as we stand and continue to worship our God. Thank you.